Men are gates and gatekeepers of their homes, congregations, and communities. When these gates are overcome and overrun, the society stands in danger of being attacked and ravaged. The Christian Men's Convocation is a divine call unto all Christian men, public servants, businessmen, academicians, politicians, farmers, military men, market traders, artisans, and all categories of professionals in various walks of life to discover the challenge of manhood in fulfilling God's purpose in their time. The convocation held at Peace House Tent, Boko. Theme: It Takes a Man. Date: 29th June to 3rd July 2005. For further inquiries or counsel, please contact Living Seed Media, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone 044-470-824, 044-470-849, email peacehouse@scanet.com, or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings us the message.
Father, we ask you this moment to cause your word to come to us. We ask that we will be hearing you very clearly, very simply, and we will be hearing you from our hearts. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will assist us now. For no man knows the things of a man except the spirit of that man in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man except by the Spirit of the Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will walk among us now, that we may freely know what has been given to us freely by God. For we know you search the deep things of God in order to make it available unto us. So, Holy Spirit, we hand over to you, not only on the pulpit, but in the pews, that all men that are seated here will be assisted by the Spirit of God to hear beyond empty words, to hear beyond the vocabularies, but to hear in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, I plead right now that you will take your place. You will begin to bring conviction. You will begin to bring revelation. You will begin to give understanding. You will begin to whisper in the heart as to the application and applicability of what you are saying at this time. We depend on you right now. Without you, we can do nothing. And we acknowledge that it is not by power, it's not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all you have done so far. Thank you for what you are going to do just now. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Some of you were here when we gathered at MLR in December. And there was a dramatic change in the direction that God was speaking. And he said, from 1 Samuel 16, he says, unto Samuel, he said, Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have finished with him? Now therefore arise, fill your horn with oil. I have provided for myself a king among the sons of Jesse. And with trembling, we understood that God is saying, the time of mourning for past mistakes, the time of mourning for wrong leadership, the time of mourning for atrocities. God is saying, stop mourning. That is not going to be a matter again. Arise, I am doing a new thing. Fill your horn with oil. I am preparing a new leadership. And that very, very strongly came, and we have been praying. But I know that when God speaks like that, He also expects responsibility from those of us to whom He speaks. I realize that when men stand in the prophetic office, there are many confusions that I have noticed when people are trying to prophesy without understanding the principle of the prophetic ministry. And when you begin to prophesy without operating in the principles of the prophetic ministry, you become an empty noisemaker and nothing will happen. When God said to Elijah, go and show yourself to Ahab, I will send the rain on the earth. In my mind, I thought that was a very simple message, isn't it? Just to go and appear before Ahab and say, thus says the Lord, I will send the rain on the earth. But I discovered that in between that prophetic instruction, there were 41 Bible verses of steps and processes before it came to a reality. And we decided under God that we will seek to understand what are those 41 verses of steps and processes before the vision, before the revelation, before the manifestation of what God is saying concerning Nigeria will come to pass. Suddenly we saw that this man arose, and the first thing he went and said, I want to see Ahab. But the discussion was not that of there will be rain. The man said, you, the troubler of Israel, you have come. He said, no. You and your father's house. You and your father's house. You have been the troubler of Israel. Can you imagine a man of God speaking to the king of the land and say, you and your father's house, you are the troubler of Israel. And we need preachers who cannot be bought over. We need preachers. We are looking for restoration in Nigeria. We need preachers. I'm happy that there are pastors here. Some of you are bishops. I would like to say to those of you who stand on the pulpit that all the leaders that spoil Nigeria, they used to be members of your church. A governor's wife was speaking with me the other day and said, sir, even when I persuade my husband to go to church, they only praise him. They don't tell him anything. In our bid for restoration, we are asking God to raise preachers who are not servants of their belly, but who are servants of God. There are some of you sitting here who are pastors and you are aspiring that God will use you in this nation. One of the first covenants you are going to make as an inauguration today is to say, oh God, I will call a spade a spade. I will set you as the head. I will be a Micaiah who says, it doesn't matter what all other prophets are prophesying. Whatever the Lord says to me, that will I say. There are people, there are churches, there are programs. I know you've gone from one meeting to another. I know you have had preachers who say great, wonderful things to you, but they never told you the issues in your life. All because they needed you to raise offering for them. We need a fresh commitment in the preaching ministry. And we are going to inaugurate that here. That after here, there will arise preachers whose first responsibility of being in the ministry is not to make a good living out of it. When we talk of good living, we are not just talking of money. We are talking of men that their purpose in ministry is not to be popular. Their purpose in God's purpose is to only be the kind of man that God wants them to be. When that one was dismantled, the downfall of our nation was set several years ago. Never is there a nation today like Nigeria, where there are uncountable number of pastors. You go everywhere on the street, there are churches everywhere, signboards here, signboards here, signboards here. We have a nation, a worshiping nation, where people are going for night vigils almost every day in their hundreds of thousands. And these men have not changed the wickedness in the land. What were they told? What were you hearing all the years and your life will not change? We are not talking about governors who are looking for prayer contractors. Who no one will be able to say, that policy we heard you saying the other time, who told you to do that? Is that in accordance to the word of God? And with fear and trembling say, I will repent. Say, you better do so. We are asking God right now to raise for us men who fear God and not men pleaser. I want to ask pastors that are here. Let me see your hand up if you are pastors here. Are you going to enter into a commitment in this meeting and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, as long as you give me opportunity to be in ministry, I will call a spade a spade. We cannot begin to deal with the political confusion in Nigeria if we don't first respond to the spiritual pollution that has come to us. Every decay, when the prof was speaking about Nehemiah, my mind jumped. I said, oh, that's great. But when you go back to look at what led to the decay and the breakdown of Jerusalem, you will find that the decay didn't start with the walls. It started with the altar. And Nehemiah was not the first man that was raised. In fact, there were three sets of men that came in nation building. The first set that came to repair the altar. We are following biblical order. We don't want to muddle it up. Otherwise, we will be making our God a liar. We will be appearing as if we say God is going to move, and he did not move because the order has not been restored. They came to repair the altar. The next set that came to rebuild the temple. Then the last came to build the walls. That's the order. So I saw that this man stood up. He was going to speak right. He said, now gather everybody. We will meet on Mount Carmel. Not rain first, but repentance. So when they go to Mount Carmel, he brought all the prophets of Baal. Say, come and call your God, let's see. They did everything. But you see, when God told him, I was saying, but God, I didn't hear this. You only said, go and show yourself to Ahab, and I will send the rain, if I were that prophet. You know what I would have simply done? I would have just gone with my chest and say, oh, King Ahab, I am here. And since I have come, there will be rain, because God said so. I thought, suddenly I realized that I have been an irresponsible prophet. A prophet that hears a prophetic utterance and does not seek to understand the processes for it to come to pass is an irresponsible prophet. There are many irresponsible prophets in our midst now. They quickly bring a prophecy and collect an offering. Irresponsible prophet, are you going to say to God, if you will grant us another start, we will follow due order in the name of Jesus Christ? He repaired the altar. He rearranged everything. He made the sacrifice. He called God. Fire came. And then the rain. There's a process. And that order is what God has been speaking to us about in the course of this time. Now, when we started, God gave us a message here. He said, I want you to know. Did you remember? That's the opening message. And we've not been able to go away from it because God is saying, I want you to know. And when the prophet is speaking again today, I see the Holy Spirit saying, but that's the same thing. I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. There's a divine organogram. I want you to know. But this morning, I'm not going to describe the organogram. I'm going to apply it. It's the application that is now the issue for us now. And how we will apply it, I want you to see two things quickly. Principles. Not anything to talk about. Just to show you. In Psalm 62, please, if you are able to get there, move fast with me. Psalm 62. I like to read verse 10. No, I read from verse 9. I will get down to verse 11. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than what? Vanity. Sorry to start like that, but that's how God put it. Listen. You see, when God began to talk about men of low degree or men of high degree, he was talking about status. And we want to first note that in God's scheme of things, status for the sake of status is nothing. If what is interesting to you is status, then I know it won't take 1 year for you to be corrupt. One of the things that has corrupted our land, our nation, whether church, is because we always look at leadership as status rather than service. And if it is seen as status rather than service, you are going to struggle to defend a status quo. But if it is service, you will find that service, nobody struggles for service. But listen. So, men of low degree are vanity. Men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. So you see, the first cry of our heart is not about high degree or low degree. There's something else God is talking about now. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Businessmen, are you hearing me? Industrialists, those of you that are desiring to manage kingdom resources, may your eagerness not be because of riches. May your desire to want to excel in business not be because of riches. May your trust not be in riches. You see why I'm dealing with all of this? Those are the small, imperceptible corruption that will not allow the order that God is bringing about now. And if we don't understand it, you will still mess up. I want to inform you that we are sitting here. If we enter into a covenant with God, and as I'm hearing God, that is going to restore the order, and that glory will flow, then there will be people here that if it was according to the election of God to make them to handle resources in their millions and billions and trillions, it's nothing with God. But he needed men that when riches increase, they don't trust it. But there are not many men like that. You will find that if a man begins to count some few millions in his pocket, this is how he works. When he comes to a place, he says, yes, how much does it cost? How much is the man altogether? How much is his house? Somebody has settled in a land for 20, 30 years, but because you needed that land to do something, you now say, well, how much do you want to take? I want to buy you completely with your wife, your children, and everything. You get out of this place. And if you are not ready, we're going to evacuate you. Why is he talking like that? He has trusted in riches. He thinks that riches is something. And we are, God is saying, I have riches, but I can't give it to people. Once I give them riches, they trust in riches rather than in me. They change the order. Now listen to me. You will be wondering why the devil did not have problem with unbelievers having riches. It is because in his own principle, anything that he gives a man that replaces God in his life, that's fine. So you see, it's not the question of intelligence. It's not the question of lack of ability. It is the fact that you want to be in a kingdom and operate a different principle, a different constitution. That's where we have problem. And God is saying, gather my men. Let me tell them my heart. Let me show them how it ought to be. When some of you even want to do something because you don't understand the principles of the kingdom of God, you want to borrow the precepts of the world, which is governed by the God of this world, to achieve kingdom principles. No way. It will not work. I do not envy, listen to me now, I do not envy all those men that you think are rich according to the principles of Satan. Listen to me. All that Satan could release to them is less than nothing. All that they are having, don't ever worry about it. It is less than nothing. You say, but why did God allow it? Let me ask you. If you have an ocean, do you bother that somebody comes with a bucket or a drum or a tanker to fetch water? That's why God is not bothered. But you see, what bothers God now is that he does not have his own representative, that he can release the ocean of his resources to, and they will operate it according to the principles of the kingdom. That's where we are having problem here. It is not about, oh, these people, they are the only one, they have money. No! What they have is chicken change. How I wish the Holy Spirit, I've prayed about that, that he will do something. That while you are hearing this, he will be speaking deeply in your heart to know that we are at a threshold of a turnaround. But God is demanding for an understanding of the order. I want you to know. Can God get businessmen here who are in business not because they love riches, not because they trust riches, but because they want to become channels through which the glory flows from God to Christ, Christ to them, them to everywhere else? Can I have businessmen here who will say, God, let us inaugurate this as a covenant? That I am not sourcing for contract because I want to eat more than what I'm eating. And I'm not going to be bossing people around because now I have bought everywhere all over Nigeria. Then you watch what God will do hereafter. You watch. You see, I'm very patiently waiting when I will begin to see the result of these meetings. Some say, hey, we came. You are not taking offering. What do we need offering for? What are you talking about? We are waiting for the rising of this generation of Christians through whom God can resource the earth. But there is an order, and that order, we must understand it. I hear some of us, the brothers that have some money, the way they are boasting, I hate it. I don't like it. And I think you see that hatred in my spirit is God. That is saying, I hate this man. I hate him. I don't like the way he's talking. He doesn't come for Bible study. But he thinks it's important enough to summon for the man of God to come and tell him the bills. That's arrogance. That's arrogance. We don't need such people here. We don't need those who write check. They put their leg on the cushion, write check, and say, believe that concerning the thing he's doing, I am happy about it. So you should go and use that. We hate that. That's useless. Men that when riches begin to flow into them, they become more of a disciple. Because their trust is not in riches. They don't think that it was money that incapacitated them before. So that when money comes now, they can go on a journey without asking the Lord. They can go and buy a project without the Lord's authorization. Simply because there's money. Those people violate their head. And the Bible says, because the head of every man is Christ, man ought not to do what? Cover his head. Even if it is money, even if it is riches, a correct man in God ought not to cover, to obscure his head. Am I going to have people who, even though riches will flow, and it will flow, but riches never dictates to them? Because the head is Christ. It is not the bank account. It is not business partners. It is the head. We have money to sponsor so and so. He said, but let me ask my head. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this. That what? Power belongs to God. That's, I'm dealing with organogram. Power. Whether political or economic or religious. They are sourced from where? From God. Hallelujah! Yeah. Listen to me. In years past, we thought that it is human beings that put people in power. The Bible says, no man is in government except what? That God placed him. I want to tell you something, and you better believe it, but if you don't, no problem. It doesn't affect me. I have come now to know that when we start doing the right thing the right way, we will see Nigeria change. Do you know why God was saying, how long will you mourn for Saul? I have rejected him, but he's still on the throne. That's what some of you don't know. That there is a man on the throne, but heaven has finished with him. But you say, but why didn't he remove him immediately? He is looking for a replacement. But you see, the replacement cannot be another man that does not understand spiritual authority. My query, I say, God, hey, Saul has misbehaved and you left him on the throne for 38 years. God said, yes, I have not yet found a replacement that understands kingdom principle. Do you know that this meeting and the subsequent kind of meetings that God is asking us to call, he's asking us to call professionals, to call teachers, to call professors, and I'm sensing my spirit, God saying, prepare leaders for me. Prepare the next vice chancellors. Prepare the next set of rectors. Stop money. For many years, all we mourn, we woke up in the, oh God, oh Curtis, they are taking the camera. Oh God. God says, stop that. That's foolish. Stop that. Fill your horn with oil. And go. I sense a different commission now. A commission to raise kingdom men, kingdom leaders. When the kingdom of this world will begin to become the kingdom of our Lord. But we've got to prepare men for that. And there are principles. There are principles that we must emphasize. What was the matter? Why was Saul on the throne for this number of years and everybody is suffering? He would declare a war without hearing from God. He would say nobody should fast. I mean, nobody should eat today without hearing from God. He would put people into trouble. Thousands were dying. Because the man on the throne is rejected. Lord, why was he there for long? And I'm asking, why is it that Nigeria suffered for long? God said, you also check. Where are the replacements? All of you are sitting here now. Where are the replacements? Where are the men that understand kingdom authority? The principles of God. Where are they? Do you think that God will replace this present rottenness with another rottenness but religious? That as soon as some of you come to power, suddenly, there is a 10-story building rising in your village. Is that kingdom? Now, there is an order that the Holy Spirit is saying, once God has spoken, twice I have heard that power belongs to God. Now, you have understood that principle. Let me go to 75. Psalm 75. Very quickly, just like that. Verse 6. For promotion. Listen, these are kingdom principles now. Promotion cometh neither from the east or from where? Nor from the west, nor from the south. Where does it come from? But God is the judge. Listen now. He putteth down one and setteth up another. I wish you can come to believe that. I wish God helps us to come to understand that he putteth down one and he setteth up another. When we raise correct men now who understand kingdom principles, what they will be longing for now, listen. They are not politicians that go about in their campaign setting down the incumbent. That cannot be correct. You will not be party to a meeting where you are sitting down and say, how can we deal with this man? When God sees that you are a party to a secret meeting, planning how to set down a man that had been put there. Don't worry about how he got there. What God sees is this man is dealing with the principles of rebellion. I can't back him. So even when I'm reading campaigns, and the campaign is about abusing, the campaign is about criticizing. The campaign is not about what God wants to do. It's about how we should throw this man away. God said, this man is coming from this, is drinking from the same pot. We come back in. Let's just wait. There are some of you in the university, you are a professor, I know. And by rank, you ought to be a VC or the dean of faculty, or you ought to be something else. But because you don't understand kingdom way of growing, you are circulating around, digging the feet of the present VC. You can even bring his name and say, he's not a Christian. Let's deal with him. And there are your prayer contractors that are saying, yes. And heaven looks at you and says, this man, we can't use him. He doesn't understand order. He doesn't know that it is me who puts man down, who set men up. The reason why you think to succeed in politics, you've got to bribe men, is because you don't understand biblical order. That it is not men that you bribe that will set you up. It's the Lord. Someone said, not in this present day Nigeria. I'll tell you, what you said is so. Present day Nigeria. Present. Simply because what God is looking for is currently absent. Now, it is God who sets up, and are you sitting in a corner? Every time they are talking about the president, then they are talking about governor, your comment is negative. You undercut the current. You make it impossible for heaven to approve you for leadership. And as I'm traveling about, I meet Christians who don't understand kingdom principles. You go to church, it's all about criticism. Oh, what of president? He's not serious. Doesn't know what to do. You don't understand that. That is what the children of Israel were doing that made them to perish in the wilderness. So the church, instead of understanding principle, we became a complaining community. Our prayer is a complaint and criticism. It's not about seeking, Lord, you are the one who set up men. Whom will you set up for us, Lord? You don't understand principles. So, why was Saul on the throne for many years? God said, I am training my man. I'm not ambitious, but I am growing with a vision. When Prof said, God has a destiny for Nigeria, I jumped and said, yes, it's true. I know that Nigeria has a destiny to fulfill to the rest of the world in every field, not just in preaching. Not just in preaching, in every field, in academics, in technology, in business, in politics, in everything, we are going to lead the world. Now, you see, I love your shouting, but I want you to understand that there is 41 verses in between a declaration and a manifestation. And we've got to settle down now to train ourselves. What was God doing? He needed to train David. David, who will kill Goliath. And instead of taking the head and taking photograph with it, he will go and hand it over to a Saul that he himself knows that God has rejected. Because a chapter earlier, the Bible said the Spirit of God departed from Saul. And it was this brother that was singing and driving away a demon from him. If I were David, what would I have said? I said, I don't know why you want to have a madman as your king. You know I'm close to him. You know I'm close to him. Many times in the night, when the feet of madness come to him, it's terrible. There are some contracts he will sign like this when he's already mad. I'm close to him. If you want, I can give you an evidence. The last time when he was beginning to bring saliva in his mouth as a madman, I took his picture. Come and see. God was training that man how to understand authority. That until God put down a man, you don't tamper with him. But some of you tamper with the authority in your church. You tamper with the authority in the business organization where you were. The business you are doing now, the reason why heaven cannot back it up is because of what you tampered with in order to set up. Now, in the world system for the devil, that is how he operates. So when somebody does that, in the kingdom of darkness, they will be succeeding because that's what the devil is looking for. But if you want to be for the devil, leave us alone. Go and be with him and get whatever you can get so that when the repercussion comes, you will know why you are suffering. But you want to be a child of God, you put one leg here. You want to do a business, but you have swindled somebody. No, you won't go. God is asking for due order. I'm afraid that if you understand what God gathered us here for, maybe some of you say, if it's like that, I better go away. I hope you will not. But if you want, no problem. Hallelujah. Now, so having looked, I saw God training David. One day, Saul came into his hand. And all he needed to do is just to throw the javelin of Saul and do like this and arrange a mysterious fire that will burn everywhere. And they will say, well, we don't know what happened. The king went somewhere and then he fell down. You know, he used to be mad, so we don't know how he fell on something. And then that's how he died. He went as close as cutting the man's skirt. When I read the Bible that, and he cut the man's skirt, do you know the first word that came to me? He bit him at the back. Backbiting. You don't understand the meaning of that. Every backbiting is a cutting of a man's skirt at his back. Some of you are lecturers here. What do you say behind your provost? For as soon as the provost got, welcome, sir, welcome, sir, welcome, sir. And God is saying, this man can represent me. Today, it is provost is backbiting. Tomorrow, he will bite me, myself, at my back. Do you find it convenient to sit in a meeting discussing a man? And when he comes in, all of you keep quiet. You undercut your own self. Because the kingdom you are trying to copy, you have no destiny there. And the company, I mean the kingdom you want to belong to, you have no purpose living like that. So I found Christians, they cut themselves short on both sides. And it's appearing as if our God doesn't answer prayer. No, we crippled ourselves. We put ourselves in between. And there is no man who is in between that can become anything. If God be God, do what? Serve him. If Baal is the God, go. I think we are too many in the church. Because I'm sorry to say that. I think that the church, the present church, our size looks so many for effectiveness. God has always fought his battle with a 300 that he has tried, trained, and corrected. But there are these 32,000 running everywhere, but with divided loyalty. And God is saying, I can't go with this. If you know what is my own body is, I'm hearing God every day, I can't go with this. I want to deliver the Midianites to your hand, but I can't go with this. Bring them down. Let me sort them out for you. Can't go with this. You know, it pains me that you will hear God say, I can't even go with these pastors. You know how terrible it is that you are hearing God say, even all these pastors, I can't go with them. I can't use them to bring revival. Because I know them. I know what they will do. Look at some little men of God that God began to help in our land. From nothing. God began to pour power. Raw miracles were happening. In a short while, they became the God. In our very eyes. Ah, and God said, I can't go with this. I have loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of blessings. I'm waiting, I'm looking. My eyes is running to and fro all the earth, looking who whose heart is loyal and perfect towards me, that I can show myself mighty on their behalf, have not found. Can we pray in this meeting and say, God, your search will not be endless. Let that search end with my life. I wish somebody would say, God, give me a chance. I want to make a difference. Hallelujah. God was looking for that man who understands kingdom. And I'm surprised. Saul was chasing this brother everywhere. And every time, it would look as if God handed over his enemy to his hands. God was trying his heart. God said, supposing I even handed over the enemy to you, let me see whether you will be restrained or you will do what is in your heart, because you are ambitious. God was watching. And when I say God handed your enemy to you, some of you are thinking that, no, how can that be? Maybe, no. How many times God allowed you to jam a secret document that can finish that man? What did you do? Uncle, what did you do? You grab it. You are waiting. On the day of battle, you just say, I have an exhibit. Everybody say, exhibit from where? I say, don't worry. It will be the last exhibit. And on the final day, you just tender it. And the man is finished. You didn't kill him, but you have killed him. Some of you are contesting for a contract. And God is testing your heart. He makes you to jam something. And you held it. Say, that day we will knock them off. Yes, you knock them off. But you've knocked yourself down. Because God can't go with you. What are we inaugurating here? Biblical values. Kingdom values. People who we on their own step into a covenant and say, God, I want to be a man that understands your headship. Amen. Amen. When David finally heard that Saul fell in battle, I say, God, we've not understood kingdom. That's why we're in trouble. When he finally heard that the man fell, do you know what happened? Do you know what happened? A young man ran with jubilation. Praise the Lord, oh single, single, praise the Lord. He brought the crown and the bracelet on the head of Saul and said, now, who says you will not rule over this country? Take the crown. Take his bracelet. I thought David would say, good! You'll be my campaign manager. Those of you that want to be in politics, those who decamp, don't make them your campaign manager. That is contrary to kingdom principle. You can't do that and reign for God. If it is a man carried another man's crown and put on your head, the day he is annoyed with you, the day that you are not able to meet his terms, what is he going to do? He will take that crown and he will tell you, say, now, you know how I made you. Now I am going and you will see. Then suddenly you are trembling. You are saying, now let's renegotiate. How many leaders in Nigeria now are renegotiating with wicked people? Because they are the ones that put the crown on their heads. The man said, look, my terms is this. If I don't get this contract, then things will happen. He is not qualified to handle the contract that will affect millions of Nigeria. But because he is the one that brought the bracelet on your head, and because you love power, you didn't love Jesus, you love power, you quickly say, okay, you can have the contract. There are people who have been appointed ministers in Nigeria who have no business being a minister. But they are the ones who decamp from another camp with another man's bracelet and put on your neck. So they have to be there. He said, let us pray over this matter. I said, Mr. President, sir, we know how we came here. And it's not a matter of prayer. You know, you didn't pray when we made you. We know how we came here, so you can't turn this thing to religion. That's why you have Christians in leadership, but they are toothless. They have good intention, but they are toothless because of those who put the crown and the bracelet on their head. We are not looking for such again. Are you going to respond to the word of God? Are you going to allow the principles of the kingdom? And I want to conclude by showing you that the kingdom of this world, listen, is the kingdom of our God. Now listen, maybe that's a lie the devil has told. That the devil says that this world belongs to him. He showed Jesus all the glories. He said, all these things belong to me and I give it to whosoever I want. Is that the truth? But many of us, we believe that the kingdom of this world belongs to the devil, and you've got to bow down. You've got to worship him. You've got to lower the knee before you can get there. If you bow down to get there, it will be immoral for you to stand up. Do you know what you are asking Christians to do? You are asking them to be immoral against the principles that installed them. How can you bite the finger that fed you? It is immorality. If you agree with a caucus that if you deliver your constituency to me, we are going to put you in charge of this, you now got into power and you now realize that he is not a correct man. That is immorality. Do we need God to move in this place? Yes. The head of every man is Christ. I want to establish today that actually the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and He is the one that putteth down, and is the one that raises up. He appoints whomsoever he wills. And we want to establish that Nigeria is the Lord's. Now, I'm not talking that frivolously anymore. I'm not speaking that carelessly. I am beginning to take responsibility under God that your kingdom has to be here. You don't know why. My own children are in trouble too. Even if I say it doesn't concern us, hey, we are Christian, let's go. Which school will your children go? I am seeing all of you saying private university. Hey, this, that. What private university? Watch those universities in the next 5 years. They will be the most corrupted places. Do you know why? They won't be able to pay the bills. So they will begin to get substandard hands. They will be picking the rejects. Because they want to make money. There's no need begging the question. We've got to face reality. Lord, do I want you to use me? Hallelujah. God was training his man before he will manifest him. He brought him. He said, look, the man tore his clothes. For the first time, the young man that decamped said, what? You know, fear gripped him. Because he said, I didn't know that this man is this close to Saul to the point that he could tear his clothes on hearing that he died. I'm in a wrong place. Do you know that gossip have survived in Nigeria because they have your hearing? Now, don't think I'm just talking about government, about politics, about politicians. I'm talking about you, your small department where you are. That small department where you're a dean of faculty, sir. What are you doing there? What are the stories that is peddled around? And you will take that in. David ordered and said, capture this decamper. Did you say you were there and that you were the one who helped to finish the man of God? You touch the anointed and your mouth has decided it. Now finish him. He died there. I wondered, kingdom principles. Listen, you have not understood. When David, after he cried, he composed what? A song. I've never seen a tribute like that. Do you know when he wrote the song, he now gave the children of Judah, his own people, that they should start singing it. Can you imagine, sir, that you are going on campaign and then you go to a place. The man that is directly opposing your party, he has done good things in the city. And you now go to your party members and say, I want all of you here to stand up and acknowledge this man. That he has done well. To say this university is not our work. This man did it and we want to say thank you for doing that. You did well. When am I going to have kingdom politicians? Because we don't understand kingdom principles, The first thing we do is to discredit whatever he did. And when you get into power, you scatter everything that he has done as if he did nothing. So that you can start afresh. And Nigeria is always starting afresh. Because we have men that are ambitious, who don't recognize the grace of God in others, even if they became opponent at last. Are you open for a different Nigeria? That's where God is going. God is not a respecter of persons. Don't imagine that the Muslim or this or that. That's not the issue. The issue is that God is looking for a man that he can support. I want you to stop being lazy, speaking here carelessly. And I don't want to hear you talk to me unless you are ready to change. So that God can do what is in his heart. There's something in God's heart. It will happen. He composed a beautiful song. He did not, listen. He did not mention the failure of Saul. He did not mention how he took his wife. He did not mention. He just taught them, he said, all of you sing about this man who was your captain. Then he sent for the Gibeonites who buried Saul and promoted them. Say, you did well. You are being patriotic. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for burying King Saul. So he removed, he exhumed the old bones of King Saul and he brought it back and gave him a presidential burial. What are we talking about? I know you are asking for a change. Abi? With what? With another rottenness called Christian. Do you know that God is happy that if any wrong thing is going on, let it be said that these are unbelievers? It's understandable. But for someone to declare to be a Christian, and I say to all of you sitting here, you are here. If you will disappoint Jesus, we prefer, you hear me? We prefer Saul to keep reigning. For our God cannot be identified with mediocrity. If there is something in your spirit that is not yet correct, well, I don't need to say, God will resist you. You see, the trouble is that you will wonder, but God, this is the man that we want you to raise. Why? God say, I'm resisting him because he wants to carry my name into the mud. I'm concerned about my name. It costs more damage to God for anybody to tamper with his name and use it anyhow. God doesn't want that. So he prefers to steer clear as if he has no plans. God said, don't weep about Nigeria again. Nigeria will change. But you have an assignment now. Now. Part of that assignment is why you are here. The Bible says he did all of that and then he was waiting for biblical principle to be raised up. He was understanding headship. He said, Lord, should I go back into the city of Judah or should I remain in the country of the Philistines? He didn't think, the throne is now vacant. Let me move in and start my army. Do you know what he did? He waited. God said, yes, but go back to this village. When he got back to that village, he was waiting. The people said, the Lord spoke to us that you are our king. Before that discussion will finish, the man that they made a king over Israel on the other side, some group of boys went and strangulated the man in his room and killed him and came back and said, hallelujah, the kingdom is now vacant. Come and take over. David said, me? It is God that put it down. It is God that raises. Did you put a man down? They say, of course. You put him down, you are gone. He slaughtered them. Kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. I know some of you have not heard me preach politics before. And you are saying, what is this brother Gwile doing now? We've got to train kingdom principles. If Nigeria is going to change. He just took over a department. And the first thing you call for are gossipers. And this one did this, this one did this, this one did this. And suddenly you start sacking people that have been faithfully working for years. So that you can bring sycophants. Or you do it in your faculty. You did it in the department. You quickly look for somebody from your village to make exam officer. So that things can be all right. Let me tell you, even if those people you brought in are so-called born-again Christian, it is immorality. God doesn't do that.